Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks.
I'm Noah Richman.
And I'm Darren Goldsby.
And we are going to dive deep into the obsession that we enjoy called the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the television series that go along with them. Now, we are into Phase 3 with Captain America Civil War and Doctor Strange. And, well, first let me get your opinions. How do you think Phase 2 worked for you in setting up where we're going in Phase 3?
I was happy with what they did, other than Iron Man 3, which, you know, didn't really affect Phase 3. But I actually liked the way things worked it out, you know, with Guardians of the Galaxy and the way they continued to tell the story about, you know, the Infinity Stones and setting it up to where we're going in Phase 3. So I thought they continued that story, and it resonated through all the independent movies that Marvel was making pretty well. So I was pretty happy. I mean, obviously it did good enough to continue on and, you know, for a future to continue that same story. So I don't know, I was happy.
Yeah, I guess I would be maybe a little more hesitant. And obviously Phase 2, you had some really, you know, top-notch stuff that came out. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy being my own favorite. I think a lot of people really felt Captain America Civil War was, you know, very solid. A lot of talk about that maybe being the best of the MCU.
That's Phase 3, isn't it?
No, that's Phase 2. I'm sorry, Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier.
And I love Winter Soldier.
My mistake there. But honestly, like, if I'm looking over the list of Phase 2, I really thought that, Iron Man 3, that was mega popular, but I think we have our hesitations about it as a film. Thor the Dark World is probably one of the more poorly received films in the MCU, although ironically it's actually one I rather enjoyed, just because it was an unabashed fantasy film that, you know, wasn't making any bones about being that. And then Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, and then it kind of culminated with Age of Ultron, which I thought was a bit of a mess.
Yes.
And then they threw in Ant-Man for good measure, which I thought was, you know, just sort of mediocre.
Do you think
Ultron has grown on me, though? I got to say real quickly, initially in the beginning, I wasn't really thrilled with Ultron, the Age of Ultron. But and since I've owned it, I've been watched it, you know, a couple times. It's kind of grown on me because I've kind of accepted some of the shortcomings of it and still, you know, still enjoy it. I mean, it's a Joss Whedon film, and for that alone, it's worth its watch. So,
Now, do you think Ant-Man did its job in introducing one of the original Avengers, or maybe, as I thought, Ant-Man was always brought in to give people another light option besides Guardians of the Galaxy, because there are people who didn't like Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this movie did you not like? Because, you know, like you, I think Guardians and Winter Soldier were my two favorites from that group. And I, in terms of story quality, I'd have a hard time choosing between the two of them. They're very different in tone, Guardians and Winter Soldier. But Guardians had a more carefreeness to it. And I often wondered if Ant-Man was supposed to do that to bring sort of a more fun level to the MCU on Earth.
You know, there's such a fine line, though, with how superheroes are represented on the big screen. And, you know, Noah, you've mentioned this before, which I continue to think about as far as, you know, something, the hokey factor, which is why Mr. Fantastic will never work, because it's kind of borderline hokey. Well, I kind of feel that same way about Ant-Man. You know, you've got the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids mentality. So there's this borderline where it comes across a little cheesy. But, and you know, an Ant-Man, I thought that was kind of what we were going to get. And at some point they kind of embraced the cheesiness of it. I mean, Paul Rudd, of course, being the, you know, comic actor that he is, I thought that was a great, I thought he did great in that role, but it just didn't, there wasn't enough wow factor with that. It was kind of a nice story. It was fun to watch, but you know, it didn't really do anything for me other than just continue the story that they're trying to establish, you know, for the big, big ending that they're supposed to have. So,
yeah, but I guess what I would say in response to Summer's question about, you know, did the movie do a good job of introducing Ant-Man? Were you asking if it was like introducing the Ant-Man from the comics? Was that your question?
Well, it was more of how do you introduce a character that's pivotal in the comics universe, but that almost nobody who hasn't read Avengers in the past 30 years even knows about? Because that was the same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy. They're like, who are these people? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I do think they did a good job of introducing the MCU Ant-Man, who, of course, a lot of comics purists are not very happy about because he's not the comics Ant-Man. Well, at least not you know, the way you would expect from how the Avengers have grown from the comics.
Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. It totally depends, because when I saw how they were changing the origin, I mean, when I started reading the Avengers, Vision and Scarlet Witch were central members. All right, they weren't add-ons. They were smack dab in the middle, leading the way. And the way they were introduced, I'm like, I'm still struggling with this, but I'll hold off. I'll wait. And I think I understand why they did it. I'm not sure I like it yet, but it depends on how they use Scarlet Witch and Vision later. I have not. Yeah, Ultron was a mess, wasn't it?
No, I've come to a point where I just have to accept certain things, being a comic fan and knowing that what we once, you know, the original stories are just not going to maybe transfer to, you know, today's movies. And so while Hank Pym, we know that he was the original Ant-Man, Giant Man, and so forth, and is probably much the most, you know, important first figure in Marvel Universe as far as its origins are concerned, you know, yeah, there's some changes and whatnot, but I really, at the end of the day, I'm just grateful that we're even getting these movies made.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, because right. It's an extension of my youth. And so, yeah, I mean, I could complain about all the things that they're not doing all day, but still, this is a nice opportunity to be able to even talk about the fact that they're making these movies.
Yeah.
Right.
And on such a large scale.
And I laughed when people brought up the, you know, Hank Pym wife beater thing. I'm like, but you're okay with Vision and Scarlet Witch being married and her using magic to have a kid. Okay, then.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
I have a feeling that the MCU is going to leave that storyline on the cutting room floor. They're not even going to deal with that.
Well, you know, and ironically, the completest in me, when they first released, you know, I saw the trailer for Ant-Man, my first reaction was, wait a minute, Yellow Jacket was not, that was Hank Pym, and he wasn't a bad guy. So, because as we all know, that was another character that Hank Pym assumed when he was throughout his different variations of, gosh, what was he, Giant Man, Goliath, Ant-Man, you know, Yellow Jacket. So he assumed many different roles. But then again, like I said, I just had to let that one go. you know, and I've done that a lot, you know, like the Iron Man 3, which I am not a fan of, by the way. That to me was, even though I'm willing to let things go, I thought the way they handled Mandarin was just obscene and just wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of a waste of a pretty damn good villain, you know?
Yeah. And they could have modernized the way, and I thought that's what we were getting when they first, you know, when the movie was gone its way, you know, and I was really digging it. But yeah, talk about pulling the rug under our feet. But you know, I can see why people might like it too. So I've had to accept this going forward, that there are going to be changes again, even in the future. They're trying to, you know, massage this, and audience changes. You know, our age group who read these comic books, we're not going to be you know, watching these forever. And so they have to start basically shaping them for the next generation of fans. And so they could be changing come phase four. I mean, who knows? You know, I know that they're pushing the Inhuman narrative big time right now.
And you know why, right?
Yeah, because it's mutants are not coming their way. Yep. That way, or
well, yeah, they Marvel started Inhumans because they knew they would never get the rights to any of the Marvel mutants, any of the X-Men, right, any of the peripheral characters in the X-Men, but ever,
yeah, like till the end of time. Especially after Deadpool went out and made, you know, like
$50 billion, yeah. So they're never going to get the X-Men back. And I listen to a lot of podcasts with writers and the comics writers, horror writers, just the whole gamut. And people writing X-Men titles for Marvel are told, do not create any new mutants. They were like, do not create any new characters because we can't use them. And we don't want to give free marketing to the next mutant, you know, Fox might drop into an X-Men movie. We're just not going to do it. So they are actually phasing out the X-Men. It would not surprise me if the X-Men titles became static. They just don't interact with the rest of the Marvel titles anymore. They're over there for Fox because Fox bought them a whole long time ago and they'll never give them up. But so they've moved on to the Inhumans.
Yeah, I mean, they killed off the Fantastic Four in the comics, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. I still have hopes that that's going to be, you know, they're going to give that back to Marvel one day.
If they do get it back, because here's the thing. Remember a few years ago, all of us were so excited that Marvel got the rights to Daredevil back?
Yeah.
And they went straight to Netflix with it?
Right.
Yeah. Having the Fantastic Four show up on Netflix might not be a bad thing.
You know, I think you're right. And, you know, I know that we were just previously talking about the phases and, you know, the big screen Marvel, but I think the fact that Netflix being a different pace actually, to me, is better at kind of replicating that feeling that you got in the comics, as far as, you know, establishing your characters and everything. So
yeah, and I remember when that happened, I was ecstatic because I thought the first thing we would get would be a movie that teamed up Daredevil and Black Widow, like it happened in the comics.
Right.
And then you read the stories that they were going to Netflix with it, and I had my reservations until I realized that they were doing, you know, something that embraced Frank Miller's Daredevil. I'm like, okay, interesting. I'm on board now. And wow, I was completely blown away. So if they manage to have the Fantastic Four's rights revert to them, they don't even have to start up a comic again. They could just go straight to Netflix with it.
I would be totally on board for that.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening.
The rights going
just
back.
Think about the budget for the you know, special effects. You're talking about three characters that would have to be shot against green screen the entire, you know, way, the whole show. And unless you plan on putting Thing in another rubber suit, that would be an expensive investment. And I don't know, at this point, maybe people feel like they've been burned by the Fantastic Four too many times now. So. I think going to a straight animation would be it.
I think Fox has pretty clearly got the message about the value of Marvel properties. And I think they're going to, anything Marvel that they've got the rights to, they're going to be holding on to tight fist.
I think you're right.
The fact that Sony relented and collaborated with Marvel and got Spider-Man slid into Phase 3 officially, I'm like, wow, that was a gutsy call. That was like, hey, yeah, we'll work with you. We'll share this with you because we want to make money. Go for
it. You know, Spider-Man, but they it's not like they weren't successful with their franchise of the Spider-Man movies they'd made. You know, obviously their reboot on, like, they expected bigger things, but it's not like it was a complete bomb.
But people are getting tired of it. I mean, who wants to see the same Spider-Man story every three movies? You know, you get a trilogy one character, right, and then boom, reboot it. He's an older Spider-Man now, three movies, boom. Reboot it again, he's back in high school, three movies. I'm like, really? How many times can I watch, you know, Uncle Ben die?
No, you're right. I mean, I think that's the big complaint, Noah, that you've had for a long time, as far as when movies get reboots, is always just retelling the origin again, because you've already killed about, what, 60-70% of the movie doing that tale again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm sorry. So to bring it back to your original question, I mean, I was looking at Phase 2 and I was sort of like, well, actually, these aren't all necessarily heavy hitters. And I did think Ultron was a bit of a mess. But all that being said, if you're considering what a huge company and what a big winding, unwieldy, you know, elements that are being woven together to tell this story, you know, it all came together to start Phase 3 off with Civil War. And boy, talk about starting off with a bang.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I definitely think everything's been heading in a very interesting direction so far.
I'm excited for Black Panther. I said, that was the first Marvel comic I ever read. And I want to see what they do with him.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, every time that a Marvel film is announced, I'm very excited, I'm very on board, I'm very much looking forward to it, but I do also have some big concerns. One of them I talked about during the Doctor Strange review. One of the things that's been great with the Marvel films is how they have a lot of humor and at the same time are telling their story seriously. But it's become so much of a formula for them to do that in Doctor Strange, I actually felt like it was starting to take away from the ability to really enjoy the parts of the story that, should be told with a straight face. I am concerned that they're going to be going overboard with the movies of feeling like every movie now has got to be basically a comedy, not just, you know, a good superhero film where it makes you laugh along the way too, but actually lets it not even just be what it is, because you got to find some way to make it jokey and ha ha ha.
Yeah. I think that was the one thing the runaway success of Deadpool worried me. I'm like, okay, now they're going to think they have to make all these movies R, and they have to go over the top with the snarkiness with it. That's not what the MCU is supposed to be about. Now,
right. And I'm sorry, just let me just finish this thought. So I have that concern with the MCU. And on the other hand, I have the opposite concern with the Netflix shows, which is that they're so concerned with being grounded and grim and gritty and real that I'm worried that they're just going to become afraid of just being a superhero show, that you have fun with being a superhero show.
I have two different opinions of that. I am hoping that the movies don't get too obsessed with trying to drop all the breadcrumbs that lead us to the Infinity Wars movies, because they're trying to tie every one of these movies into what will be the Infinity Gauntlet pair of movies. I'm worried that they might drop a ball somewhere. Now with the Netflix series, I'm okay with that being a little bit darker, because we're in a New York City that is still recovering from the events in Avengers. And we see that echoed out throughout all the shows so far. And in my mind, that's the Marvel Universe's 9/11. You know, it's still that's still an open wound. That's a, still a fresh wound that people are dealing with because you lost a lot of people. You had a lot of, shall we say, seedier elements try to take advantage of gaps in, shall we say, politics and policing. And that is, to me, because you've got Hell's Kitchen, you've got Harlem with Iron Fist. It's probably going to be Manhattan. So you're going, you know, right back to the center of where the alien invasion happened. I'm okay with that being a little bit darker because they have 13 episodes to explore that and put some levity in there in between. In a 2 hour, 2.5 hour movie, you don't have that flexibility of time.
So are you not concerned with any of the things I just said then about the films deciding to become formula with, you know, the comedy isn't just, a superhero film, we'll throw in some humor, but
that. Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely, formula. Yeah, I'm definitely worried about the paint by numbers aspect that they could fall back on.
To add what Noah was saying, I kind of agree in some ways that in the attempts to make it almost too real, as far as, you know, grounding it in that kind of reality feel, gritty, and just happen to be superheroes, it's almost kind of losing that. I mean, even though I've enjoyed the hell out of these series, it's kind of losing its light a little bit because it just, I don't know. It would be nice to see them actually become superheroes, you know, adorn the costume or something. I don't know. It's just because it's almost like it's making fun of the idea of being a superhero. Oh, but the show is a superhero show, you know? I mean, they even did that in Luke Cage, you know, like where he's going to wear this silly costume. But I'm okay. And I think when it first came out, it was quite a nice relief, or it was exciting to see this because now you had a chance to see characters develop over a period of shows. You know, you had a larger than life Machiavellian type character in Kingpin that the way they built him would never have been worked the same way in a 2 hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that itself, that is grounded in that type of timeline, could be something that would probably work serve better in the future anyway. I think you can become a little lighthearted and still maintain that darkness in the Netflix sitting. And again, I thought Luke Cage did a better job at it. Jessica Jones was just a little bit too downtrodden and kind of like woe is me type thing. Even though I enjoyed the performances, I just thought it was a little, it's like I had to go watch something happy afterwards. And yeah. Part of watching superheroes is it is a sense of escapism. And I don't like to just watch it feel like I've just like, I don't know, just felt like it puts me in a bad mood. And when I was watching Jessica Jones, I essentially was always kind of like annoyed after watching the show, even though I appreciated it. It just got kind of old to watch her constantly walk around with a smirk on her face and like, life sucks and Kilgrave is going to be the death of me. And you know, after some point it was like, okay, just, and that's the kind of thing that I myself kind of grew a little bored with. And when you watch the Marvels on the big screen, it's kind of like not as serious in a sense, you know? And I kind of think that this whole storyline going with Infinity Gauntlet has actually been kind of a crutch in a lot of ways, because I kind of wish they would just get that story over with, because I think it's kind of actually hindered the development of individual movies by being connected, because, you know, it's going to be okay to have individual movies be grounded in only in that character. So I think that what Marvel has done, and they're going to actually do it with Inhumans, I think it was announced that this coming on ABC. Mm-hmm. So I see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in Inhumans, because they've been doing that in the show on S.H.I.E.L.D. for a long time now, where they're going to continue that cross, you know, that kind of spreading the story out over a period of time in different shows. And I don't know, it gets to a point where it's just, why can't we just have a show, you know, stuck on that particular block? And I just think sometimes they're trying to do too much.
And that is one of the things that I'm a little concerned about, because that that everything has to cross over into everything else was one of the reasons I stopped reading the comics, because you had to go read, you had to buy like 8 different titles just to keep up with the storyline.
Right.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I don't want to see that happen with the movies. I want to be able.
They've done it.
Yeah, but I don't want it to make it so that you have to see every single movie in order to get the entire story. Because like right now, so far, there are some movies I would that I do rewatch. The first Avengers, the first Thor actually I think is downright funny. Guardians of the Galaxy and the first Iron Man, Winter Soldier. Those are movies I watch. I do repeat watches of them. Iron Man 2, not so much. Dark World, I think I've only watched that twice.
I actually enjoyed that too in some ways.
But I'm not in a hurry to rewatch it, you know?
Yeah. No, actually, like I said, I have enjoyed Phase 1 and Phase 2, and so far, Phase 3. It's just there are a couple of hiccups and things that I just wouldn't be happy about watching it. And I do own the Blu-rays of all of them, so mm-hmm. that means something. But, yeah.
I actually have not bought Iron Man 3 or Ant-Man.
Well, Iron Man 3, I actually bought it, and I did that more or less for there was an extra feature that was added that was actually about the Mandarin, because I think the fans were so upset about it that they actually felt made a Marvel one-shot about the Mandarin, which basically was kind of ambiguous in how it ended, because it made you believe, wait a minute, this really was the Mandarin. But to me, that came across almost, you know, after the fact, and I don't think they meant to do that anyway, but... So, like I said, of all the movies that I watch, definitely I don't give a whole lot of time to Iron Man 3 or Iron Man 2. The rest of them I'm pretty happy with. Why is Iron Man 3, why does that, like, you look at the profit margin, that thing did mad business and people loved it. I don't get it. I really don't.
I don't know.
Well, can you say why you didn't like it other than the Mandarin?
Okay, well, it was a little ridiculous to see anybody just, you know, his girlfriend put on the damn Iron Man costume and then like know exactly what to do with it, and also become like integral to the end story. Like all of a sudden she now has this powerful entity that can do it. To me, it was just
right.
too far fetched, and I just wasn't enjoying that. I thought the way the Patriot was he was kind of beat up and was bitched out in a real, you know, that wasn't who I saw in the comic books, you know. And I just didn't like the way the balance of power was in the movie. You know, and yes, the biggest thing for me was the way the Mandarin was handled. And I really, in fact, when we watched it at the theater, I actually yelled out loud, you know, come on, damn it. and it was like, and my wife was sitting next to me. She's like, shh. Because it was such a turning event for me that I couldn't accept it. It was just really kind of almost like, you know, oh, you just did not do this.
What about Phase 2 and 3 overall, though? What's your opinion?
Well, I definitely enjoyed Phase 1, first Captain America. I really thought I thought he did a great job in presenting that feel of the early 40s, you know, and Captain America kind of just jumped off the screen. I loved the first Thor, without obviously, and I loved the Avengers. That goes without saying. For a part of where I can go back and rewatch them, every single one of them, of course, I loved. Phase 2, you know, same thing. I Ant-Man, I liked it, but I don't go back and watch too much because it was kind of one of those movies that, well, you and I saw it. We weren't right. exactly, it wasn't the best thing that it was in there, you know, in the Phase 2. But,
right.
like, for the most part, I've been happy. But I gotta say this one thing though. Even though I've got concerns about the Netflix series, I feel the most fulfilled watching the Daredevil series, the Luke Cage series for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I really felt more fulfilled as a fan because the stories were it just felt grounded. But again, like I said, there's a certain danger where it gets too gritty and too just where it's like okay, I want to lighten up just a little bit. And I thought at least Luke Cage made that attempt in some places. because you know what, even though it's supposed to be that there's actually it almost feels like an experiment that Marvel's now using the Netflix, like, oh, now we can do some things that maybe we couldn't do on the big screen, which is kind of neat. So I just hope that they don't do every show that same darkness that you're getting, you know. You know, I know, I realize Hell's Kitchen is grounded in dirt and seedy characters and kind of why Daredevil was a perfect match with Frank Miller, you know, and how it worked out well. I just don't know that that character trait is going to work itself with Iron Fist, you know, or
yeah, I don't know if they're going to go quite as dark with Iron Fist. I don't know if they can.
I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Those comics, at least in the 80s, those comics had plenty of humor in them.
Exactly. But that was the humor between Luke and Danny. And I kind of liked it back when the Powerman team up, though, because it's time. They were both two comic books that were, you know, they were almost going to cancel. And so somebody had the idea of, you know, putting these two guys together. And now it became a really nice storyline that would, you know, kind of handle social issues. And it became really popular with that. And it also threw in humor to kind of carry that. And that's what I was hoping we were going to get eventually with the Power Man and Luke Cage. Whether that's ever going to happen, I don't know. But I think that the way Luke Cage was done, it does give me hope for the Iron Man series.
Uh-huh.
And I thought the acting was amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, Iron Fist.
And I think we would see some of that when we eventually get Defenders, because that'll be the first time those two are thrown together in this television incarnation.
So, Summer, I guess I'm sort of curious to ask the same question of you that you asked to us. You know, what do you think of what you've seen so far with Phase 2 heading into Phase 3?
As a old school Marvel fangirl, I mean, like I said, I'm a Marvel girl going back to when I was maybe 9 or 10 years old. Seeing the characters that I connected with coming to life on screen in a believable way is, I'm happy with it. I am happy. It's like, I never really got into Ant-Man in the comics. You know, Daredevil, the Avengers, the X-Men, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, those were the ones that I read. I mean, I read the Avengers for longer than I read the X-Men. And people look at me a little odd when I say, yeah, I like comic books, but I never connected with Spider-Man or Batman or Superman. I really have no interest in the Batman mythos, in most of the Superman mythos. I will watch Justice League because Justice League was one of the few DC titles that I read for more than 3 issues. And I'm interested in seeing where they're going with that. But so far what I've seen on the Marvel side of the movies and the TV series, I like. I love what they've done with Daredevil, because especially the fights, oh my God, that's the Daredevil. That's the Daredevil from my comics. That is. The Avengers, the first Avengers really, really nailed it as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to see what they do with Black Panther. And I'm excited for most of what's coming up later.
You know. Now, was there anything that you didn't like? Were you also not as big a fan of Iron Man 3, or did you like that a bit more than...
Not so much a fan. Not so much... It didn't excite me. The first Iron Man excited me. I was interested in how it started out. I got really, really intrigued at the very beginning when he's captured, how he got out of it. And you see him going on his quest, building his suit, and becoming Iron Man without losing, let's face it, he is a world-class smartass. And there was so much fun in that first Iron Man movie. And I think a lot, I'm starting to get what Darren was saying about the fun, the lightness, the joy in a superhero movie that should be in a superhero movie, because Iron Man 2 and 3, I don't think had that same level of pure joy at being a superhero.
Right.
I don't think Iron Man 3 was horrible, but it didn't come up to the level of the first one for me. And that in itself is kind of a disappointment.
Were there any other Phase 2 films you were disappointed in, or were you pretty happy with them on the whole?
I would say that they were just average. Like I said, I'm not. Ant-Man. I wasn't excited by Ant-Man. I wasn't thrilled by Ant-Man. I didn't expect to be thrilled by Guardians of the Galaxy, mostly because I didn't know who these characters were. I'd never heard of them. But I was surprised and thrilled, because technically they're not superheroes. They're aliens who have some abilities. And that was, that was a pleasant surprise.
You know, going into the Guardians of the Galaxy, both myself and Noah had concerns, though, because in the trailers it was almost over the top campy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a total flip of what they had done. And I think maybe that's kind of why I enjoyed it as much as I did, because it worked so well and it used to be so well. And whether that's also because the music that they used, yeah, just really blended well and actually made the scenes that much more enjoyable, because it was almost like a kind of a narrative of our lives from growing up. And so that was a genius choice by the director and the writers. So that to me was a home run.
Yeah. And the scene where they are escaping from nowhere and Peter comes flying out there and the music's playing. What is it? Pina Colada song, I think.
Yep. Escape Pina Colada song.
And then he gets back on the ship and Drax is like praising him for his bravery. It's like, what was so important that you had to go get it? And he shows the Walkman and he goes, "You're an imbecile."
Right. Actually, and then to be honest with you, they had me at the moment they played Raspberries Go All the Way. And because I'm a huge fan of the Raspberries. And of course, if you know anything, they're like they were going to be the America's Next Beatles I don't know, that just for me, they were really smart selections. And actually, I'm actually looking forward to the tape two.
Have they leaked any songs from tape two? Cause I haven't seen any music, but the trailer they have where Peter and Drax are having like a bro talk is one of the funniest things I've seen.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. But see, and again, that's a director understanding the age group at the readers and just connecting with them. And so, as I said earlier, with going into that movie, I was really concerned. And of course, you know, when you see the trailer at the time, I had hooked on this feeling, which I rolled my eyes when I saw it the first time. I'm like, okay. But of course, without any sense of like context, didn't work well in the trailer, at least for as I'm concerned. But then later, of course, I was blown away. I mean, I walked out of that movie theater just with the biggest smile on my face that I probably have in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thoroughly, like, I saw the sneak preview of that too. It was like it was press only screening, actually. There weren't a whole lot of us in the theater, and I loved it.
Yeah. In fact, my first thought was I wanted to go back and watch it right again, and that doesn't happen very often with, you know, with me, where I see a movie, I immediately want to go back and watch it again, just because it was one of those movies that hit all the right notes. It was fun. You laughed. The music was great. You know, the acting was great. It had a nice balance of humor. And it just, to me, that's, I don't know that they'll ever, you know, other than the Avengers, first Avengers, which was great in its own right too. I don't know if I've seen any other movies. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the first Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, And I mean, those two movies alone are probably the best of what Marvel's done. And Winter Soldier is obviously one of my favorites too, and if because it's a different type of movie. I mean, it's a little more serious, but I think those three movies alone are probably my favorite of all of them, followed by maybe Civil War that just came up. So, and those are some damn good movies. There happen to be superhero movies, but they could, Guardians of the Galaxy, like you said, it could be, they could sell it as a space movie and not have superhero in the title at all or in the mix, and still been a damn good movie.
Yeah, those two I have watched. I have actually put Avengers in, watched it all the way through, then watched it again with Joss Whedon's commentary track. And I've done the same with Guardians. I've put Guardians in, watched it all the way through, then watched it all the way through again with the commentary.
So as a comic nerd, was this, I mean, for me, when they talked about the Tesseract, and everything goes with the cube, the first thing I was thinking, that's the cosmic cube, man. In
It
fact, what
actually didn't dawn on me that that was one of the gems. At it
exactly.
didn't it it didn't I didn't catch on to what they were doing until the end of was it the end of Dark World where the
Well, it was at
Collector
the end of
shows up?
Avengers that they had Thanos. It was at the end of the Avenger movie.
But I didn't pick up on what he was after until you saw the collector. And like when the collector was in there to collect what was it, the red one. And I went,
Right.
wait, what?
Well, as soon
And
as he appeared at the end of the Avengers, in fact, that was the first thing is they're going to do Infinity Gauntlet because there's no other reason why you would bring in Thanos, because that's if you follow him anything with history, that's what he's. That's his thing, is his big story.
That was part of the thing. The whole Infinity Gauntlet thing in the comics came way after I stopped reading.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and it did. I didn't get it right away either. I came went back to it, but the thing that's what I first started with the Tesseract though, and I thought that was when they first came out with it was good, like the Cosmic Cube that was of course created by AIM, which in its right was a totally different storyline too, and so. I, in fact, even when Spider-Man 3 came out and the guy mentioned that he was with AIM, I was thinking, oh, wait, we're going to bring them back, because they were a serious underground in the likes of Hydra.
Well,
So I was excited about that, but they never explored that yet.
yeah,
So.
and here's where I thought when I when they first, what was it, in Agents of Shield, when was it Coulson's alive again, and then later on you see the Kree, I'm like, are they gonna bring in the McCrann crystal? How are they gonna do that? That's X-Men. What the, wait,
Yeah.
huh?
I want to see a super scroll, man.
Oh, God.
So, what about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I mean, have you both been watching that?
No.
I have.
Okay,
And
so Darren, you're the only one that's sort of up on that one, huh?
yeah, and I've been struggling watching that, and again, I for my own reasons, but the whole Ghost Rider thing has been just kind of stupid. It wasn't the Johnny Blaze that we've all known. It was, and this Ghost Rider drives a car, and they. And I know that they've expanded the storyline in Marvel anyway with the Ghost Rider. I guess there's like multiple ones or whatever. But I just it to me it just felt like it was a plant. They drop, oh, we're gonna do Ghost Rider now, we're gonna throw it and oh, it would be a good show for that. Oh, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it just isn't it hasn't really worked as far as my take. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been just kind of dragging this season and then part of this last season as well. It's I don't know. It's just caught between storylines where they're talking about Inhumans being persecuted, and it's to me it's just like a cheap mutant storyline.
Well,
And for me, Inhumans was always something that wasn't something that they would be ashamed of being, and didn't feel. I mean, the origins were like they were born from as an Inhuman. They weren't given the powers like some by some accident where some chemicals were or whatever how it happened on the show.
what I read about how they're doing it, the people who are being turned into inhumans by what is it, the Terrigen Mist? Is that
Exactly.
it? The people who are being turned into Inhumans are actually descendants of the original Inhumans,
Correct. And they like did a terraform basically of the planet. And, you know, everyone who had that in them was eventually, you know, reared itself and they became a fully realized Inhuman. And it's just maybe the format of ABC and budgetary, it's kind of cheesy. And going back to the Ghost Rider, it's something really stupid about seeing a flaming skull in an actual car. Because, you know, with Ghost Rider, you have that flame coming behind him, and it's really kind of visually striking to see that a flaming, you know, motorcycle. And just in a car, it just looks stupid.
Is the car on fire? Or?
Well, the hood is. It's like they're driving some muscle car. And I'm sorry, I don't know which car it is. I mean, I think it's like a tripped-up Camaro or something, but it's just – it loses its impact. But, yeah, and when he's not in the car, he's kind of cool-looking. But – my point is I've struggled watching the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I know that the Inhumans, they're going to add that on ABC as well.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't excite me. I would be more excited to see Inhumans on Netflix. But I just don't think that's going to happen. Because, you know, we have the storyline of Quake, who's this, you know, played by Chloe Bennett, who's like this suffering Inhuman that doesn't know if she wants to be an Inhuman or stay with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or the S.H.I.E.L.D. force. So I don't know. There's just all these things that I've trying to like, but I'm just having a hard time with because it just seems, the show seems kind of whiny. Yeah. I don't know. It's just tough to watch.
Yeah. I watched, I think, most of the first season. And then apparently I stopped watching right when it started to get interesting.
Yeah, it got good this season two. I loved it.
Yeah, I didn't get back into it. And then, what was it? Inhumans going from, they were going to be a movie, a feature film, and then they moved it to Netflix, and then they moved it from Netflix back to ABC. And I'm like, why?
See, Black Bolt is one of my favorite superheroes.
Really?
Just on the account that he can't, yeah, because he can't speak. But yet he commands the respect of everybody, including, you know, people of the earth. And to have such a commanding presence and respect for a man who can't even speak is kind of a cool thing. And yet possesses power that, if spoken, could level the Hulk. and I just loved his look. And I just loved the way he was kind of regal in a lot of ways, you know, almost like king-like. And how important he was to the Inhumans, you know, as a protector. Carrying the traditions on. So I just think that that's not going to happen with the series that we're getting. We're getting more of like, I don't know, X-Files meets the Inhumans type of thing, you know, and it's just stupid. You know, even the costumes are kind of cheesy looking, you know. So I can see how they're going to do, like, if you, in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they did their version of Deathlok, which was a joke. You know, the storyline, the way they carried out, it didn't do the Deathlok character justice. I mean, I'm sorry, but Deathlok needs to be on Netflix because he was a badass. and he, when he shoots people, it's not pretty. And so there was no reason for him to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. either. So my worry is that when they do the Inhumans, they're going to do the same thing with Black Bolt. It's going to be, if they're going to in fact even do that, it's going to be cheesy and, you know, I don't know. But like I said earlier, at least I should be happy that we're even here right now. That they're even doing these movies and these shows.
Right.
I mean, hell, when I was young, all we had was Bill Bixby's The Incredible Hulk, you know, which.
Right.
and the less said about the TV versions of Spider-Man and The Flash.
What about Isis and Shazam?
Hey, yeah. There's I remember
the Doctor Strange TV movie.
Oh, don't give me
that. Oh, God, yeah. That's a reach.
I remember, or I thought I remembered, Almighty Isis. I don't think I ever watched Shazam, but I did remember Isis.
Yeah, they were back-to-back.
They were.
I watched it. I had a crush on the person that played Isis. I forget her name. And as a matter of fact, I think she even had, I remember seeing her in the Spider-Man show. She played... I don't know, obviously not the Isis, but she made an appearance on the Spider-Man show. And I remember as a kid watching that thinking, hey, that's the girl who played Isis. And I just thought that was kind of a cool thing.
So I will ask you this question. Did you notice that Isis, Almighty Isis, is on Hulu?
Is it really?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna have to watch that.
I was so
desperate. I sought it out on YouTube.
It's on Hulu. I watched like the first 5 or 6 episodes, going, "Wow, this does not hold up." But it's
probably
still
doesn't.
it's still cute in
Is it Land
70s.
Of the Lost cute?
It's actually Hardy Boys Nancy Drew cute.
Okay. Is it Dinah Girl bad?
The Dinah Girl and Electra Woman, it's not that bad, no.
Okay.
But they are actually, I thought I read something where they were trying to revive that as another Saturday morning series. I'm like, really?
That would make a good porn. You know.
Oh man, I almost sprayed water all over my computer.
Well, I've crossed the line of being misogynistic here, but we're talking about superheroes now.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't go back and watch Isis because my memories are serving me better than the actual show. But it would be kind of nice to go back and watch that to see what I thought at the time was amazing and to realize it was...
I think they're kind of out of order on Hulu because I remember seeing... the episode where she found the amulet and became Isis, that's not in the first grouping that I saw.
Well, don't they just, they show that at the beginning of each show?
I thought there was like a full episode that showed how that happened. And then they started using those scenes later in the opening credits.
Right. You know, now you've piqued my interest. I definitely... You know, I'm like a kind of like a whore with old superhero stuff. I'm always going back, and thank God for YouTube, where I've managed to go back and kind of open up that door to what once was I saw. Like even when, I don't know if you remember this one, but it was, I think it was maybe CBS, but they had a Justice League of America special where there was like, I think they were singing and dancing and so forth, and they were all the different superheroes.
No.
And Adam West was actually... adorned his Batman costume, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and it was on, and it was like an hour-long special.
Is that and like Star Wars Christmas special bad?
Something like the old god, yes. No, seriously, though, I mean, it's I haven't found it, but I know I'm not crazy. I remember watching it, and I'm constantly in search for that, and it actually happened. And I just know at the time,
The only other TV series I remember were the animated ones was Spider-Man and Friends, and because it was Spider-Man, Iceman, and Firestar.
Yes, Firestar. Yes.
And then Justice League, Super Friends. That's what they called it, Super Friends.
Yep.
Wonder Twin Powers activate.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Looking back on that, it's like, wow, how did I ever think that Wonder Twins were actually
in the form of a seal?
In the form of a bucket of water.
Mm. Yeah. And then they had Casey Kasem providing the voice, so I always heard, you know, Shaggy and his friend saying, "Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice."
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
But so times are better now.
Yes. Thank you, Marvel. Thank you, Marvel.
Yeah.
For getting the rights to all your stuff back and making better shows out of them. For that, we salute you.
Yes.
Any final thoughts, Noah? Darren?
No, just going to be really curious to see where they go from here. A little worried that they might be falling a little too much into formula, but thinking whatever comes up, at the very least, they'll probably be entertaining.
My biggest concern, and I guess this is really splitting hairs here, but is with the Infinity Gauntlet story, because as of now, there hasn't been any mention of Adam Warlock. And if you know the story about that, he's one of the most important figureheads of that story.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you could tell that Infinity Gauntlet story without having Adam Warlock in there. I mean, you just would have to rewrite the whole thing. So that's my concern going forward, and how we, if there is in fact a reveal in the Phase 3. So, and I've got the feeling of Doctor Strange, because you know maybe we will see that somewhere along that line. So, I mean, maybe I have a feeling we're going to see him make an appearance in the Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2, and I'm hoping we do. Otherwise, they're going to have a hell of a thing to do with that, you know, Avengers 3. So that's my concern.
I'm actually expecting Doctor Strange to show up somewhere towards the end of Iron Fist, just because he kind of has to.
That would be kind of cool. I was thinking that too. Would they be able to bring in? I mean,
they would have to, because Doctor Strange actually creates the Defenders.
No, you're right. It's integral to the origin story. I'm just thinking of Cumberbatch. Would he be okay doing something like that with Netflix? I mean, I don't know.
We're not talking like, you know, six episodes here. We're talking maybe, you know, half of one episode, or maybe one full episode.
That would be so cool. And you almost think, I'm almost expecting that now, because they're still mentioning the movies in its context, you know, with the events that happened with Avengers 1. So, yeah, why not?
So, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. And I'm not as concerned with the formula being so formulaic, as long as the story is engaging and the characters don't act boring. I mean, as like I said, as long as the stories that are being written, if there's a, you know, plot point one here, plot point two here, plot point three here, plot point four here, everybody goes home happy or dead at the end, I'm okay with that kind of formula, as long as the story around the formula is entertaining and engaging. If it gets to be a boring formula, then I will be a little miffed.
But it's inevitable, because it's all about making profits, and when you do enough phases and they show success based on this formula, it's inevitable.
Oh, well, I'm curious is, what do they do in phase four? Like, where do they go when the Infinity War is over? What do they do with everybody that do they?
Well, a new Captain America, obviously. I don't know.
Well, they've already done that, because Sebastian Stan was contracted for 9 movies, whereas Chris Evans was only contracted for 6.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, really? No, that came out. Yeah. That came out a while ago.
I must have missed that. That's interesting. I wouldn't mind him as.
He eventually does pick up the shield.
Right. Well, you know, and there's been so many iterations of who's assumed Captain America, but I'm hoping in the phase four that we get a Nova movie for once. And, you know, they've already tapped into that with the Nova Corps in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be kind of nice to see. Would love to say the Submariner movie, but of course, I don't even know if Marvel has the rights to that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it would be kind of neat to see that. That's a whole storyline that's not even been explored at all, as far as, you know, the ocean and, I don't know, kind of a historical-like spin.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a period piece, you know, with taking the story of... And I think that's kind of recognizable to people, you know, with mythology and everything.
It might be, but I see a problem with this, because everybody knows about Aquaman. Nobody knows about Namor unless you are a diehard Marvel fan.
Yeah, well, they said the same. We said the same thing about the Guardians of the Galaxy. So I think if it's done right.
Well, as you said, Guardians of the Galaxy. When they first announced it was going to be Guardians, I was a little disappointed, because I had been hoping for a Starjammers movie. Starjammers. Well, Starjammers were the ones who I was.
Now you're going way over.
Yeah, I wanted Starjammers, because was it Corsair was father of Cyclops and Polaris, right?
Yeah, that was a Dave Cockrum. He drew that, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was Dave Cockrum that drew that.
No, I loved the Shi'ar, the Kree Skrull Roars, the Starjammers. Oh, yeah. I loved all of that. And people look at me and go, the who? And
well, they I'm had like, a graphic novel of that too.
They did.
Yeah, and I remember reading it. Yeah.
Who was who? The queen of the Shi'ar, who was like at one point Professor Xavier's girlfriend. What was her name?
Oh, I'd have to go back and pull my memories on that. I do remember liking it though, but I never would imagine I would, you know, with all due respect, I would hope that they would, you know, like explore some other tiles.
Well, that's just it. When I realized how deeply Fox had their fingers in everything related to the X-Men, I knew we weren't going to get Star Jammers because that's tied directly to X-Men.
Right. Well, maybe we'll see them maybe at one time, you know?
Who knows? Or mentioned in passing, you know, because they're out there in space, right?
Exactly.
The Marauders, the Ravagers and Peter's people, and they have to come across them sometime, right?
Yeah, it would have to take some creative writing to make it work, but I could see that happening. I mean, they're definitely some kick-ass characters in the storyline, so, and would look really great on big screen. Especially, I think it's easier to do special effects in space anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting stuff, man. Exciting stuff.
I'm looking forward to more. How about you guys?
Hell yes.
Oh, yeah.
I am seriously excited for Iron Fist. I'm going to binge on that thing the moment it's released to Netflix.
I will be right there with you, help, because Netflix crashed on me when Luke Cage dropped.
Oh.
Luke, the Friday morning, I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch the first two episodes of Luke Cage while I'm eating breakfast. It kept crashing.
That stinks. You know, and I was skeptical with Luke Cage, only because Jessica Jones was, it was enjoyable, I just felt I needed to, like, rinse my mouth out with, you know, and again, it was just, I was worried that they were going to still maintain that downtrodden, too depressing, and so I thought and again, after watching it a couple episodes in, I was like, this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, yeah, so good.
So we will look forward to more Netflix and maybe do this next spring after what's the next movie in Phase 3 that's coming out? You're gonna make me go look it up, aren't you?
What is the next movie? Guardians of the Galaxy, isn't it?
Guardians 2, but there's something else. Guardians 2 and Spider-Man. Now, is Spider-Man coming out first or is Guardians coming out first?
Guardians is first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Guardians is May 5th.
Now, is Thor Ragnarok coming out in 2017 also? Are they doing like three weeks? Okay, so we get three.
Coming out in November. And that I'm actually looking forward to.
Okay, so Guardians and Thor. I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
So
Spider-Man, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with Spider-Man, but so
the
like
fact that, you know, and the fact again, this may just be kind of messing around with people as far as that whole point about, well, there's not a single punch thrown in the movie. It to me, that's just like, okay. Because they were saying, well, Spider-Man shows that he doesn't always rely on physical confrontation. I just think, what, is he going to talk his way out of confrontations through his wit? I mean, to me, why even bring that up? Why does he even have to say that there's not going to be a single punch thrown? I mean, what are you trying to prove? I mean, it's a freaking superhero movie.
That was actually the statement. No, Spider-Man doesn't throw any punches.
Yeah, I forget where I read. It was whether it was the actor who said that, and if he maybe did it out of sarcasm. I didn't pursue the quote I read, and hopefully it was just said out of sarcasm. So maybe I'm putting too much weight on something that's not even real. But the fact is, if that's what they did, you know, maybe it would come across really nice. I just doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, maybe I'm making much ado of nothing here.
Well, I tell you what, next spring we will have a chat after Iron Fist and Guardians 2 come out. What do you say?
Sounds like a winner.
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, thank you guys for such a lively, fun, and highly opinionated discussion, because we are geeks and we love our entertainment.
All right. Thanks a lot, Summer.
And you know what? That will do it for this episode. We've gone a whole lot longer than I intended, but we're geeks. Should have known better, right? The only timely bit of news I have is to check out our Twitter feed, twitter.com/sliceofscifi. Anyone living in the Phoenix area who can get to Tempe Marketplace on December 19th, which is Monday, I believe, a Monday, can enter to win a pair of passes to see Passengers, the new movie with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence, for free. You get to go to an advanced screening. You might even see Darren there. Tell him you listen to Slice of Sci-Fi and say hello. Just follow the link in the Twitter posting or on Google+. It should take you to a Sony screenings page where you just enter your email address to be entered into the contest. Winners will be notified by December 17th. So get your entries in by December 16th because the 17th is when they'll email you to let you know if you won or not. I'll be retweeting that link several times over the next couple of weeks. If you're in the, like I said, if you're in the Phoenix area and can get to Tempe Marketplace on the 19th, go for it. Anyway, if you have any questions or comments or observations of your own on the Marvel Universe, the cinematic universe, the television universe, or the old school attempts that are so charming in the way that they so missed the point of superhero adventure stories, call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Leave a voicemail message, ask a question, or if you want to record one yourself, go ahead and record that and email it to summer@sliceofsci-fi.com or email a link to it if it's kind of a long rant. Listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and of course, Krypton Radio. You leave a review for us over on iTunes or on Stitcher. Check those out. If you are a subscriber through iTunes, leave a review, leave a rating. It all helps, trust me. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Google+. Check us out on YouTube. We're Slice of Sci-Fi on all of those locations. And yes, come to the websites, sliceofscifi.com, popculturegeeks.com, writersafterdark.com, and of course, kickassmysticninjas.com. Yes, ninjas. Thank you everyone for your donations and your patronage. Patreon.com is the place to go if you want to help support this project, all these projects actually, all of the hosting, all the media hosting. It stays online because of your help. So thank you, everyone. If you want to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. My thanks also go out to the geek rock band Sci-Fried for their musical contribution here to the show. It really is appreciated. I think they did a wonderful job. And if you like what you hear, go check out their website, sci-fried.com. Give a listen to some of the other samples they have. Maybe buy something. Tell them Summer sent you. But that'll do it. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.